device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
Think you're dealing with drug poisoning, chemical poisoning, food poisoning? Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. Save the number, save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The NFL season is here, and all season long, Hoodats can stay in touch with their team with our daily black and gold reports. To get the latest news and to hear from Coach Payton and his players, keep it locked here on ESPN New Orleans.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out,
y'all. Welcome back. It's the Sports Hangover, hour number three. We are off and running. 800-998-1003. If you'd like to chime into the conversation, at ESPN Radio NOLA is the way to give us a call as well. And at ESPN Radio NOLA is the way to get involved on Twitter and let us know how you feel about the Saints taking on the Seahawks. 4-point favorite tonight. Now, they will be without Taysom Hill. They'll be without Devontae Harris. Also without Peyton Turner and Dwayne Washington. Those are the players that are officially out. So we'll see how that, you know, affects the game plan and such. We've talked about the weather. We've talked about the noise. Upper 40s, 48, 49, however you want to look at it. Around kickoff or before kickoff in the afternoon, they're expecting 86% chance rain. Now it tapers off to the 30% in the evening and at night. So will it calm down as the game goes on? We'll see. But it's going to be a factor a bit to start things off. You heard from Alvin Kamara touch on and say that, yeah, it's something that you think about. Ball security, things of that nature. Now, as some of the callers have pointed out, you have a team that does not have its starting quarterback in Russell Wilson. I understand Geno Smith is a player that is, you know, a veteran, has been around a little bit. He's not Russell Wilson. Doesn't mean that you don't obviously give them a credit or things of that nature. DeMario Davis, as a matter of fact, over the weekend, gave a lot of props to Geno Smith.
He's had a phenomenal career. I guess he's going in, what, year eight or year nine. And being in a not-for-long league, anybody that's put together a career of that type of tenure, it speaks for itself. Definitely going to be a challenge for us. He's doing a great job in what he's doing for that in that system, and he's been in it for a minute. You know, all the talent is there. I remember the plays he was able to make for us when we were in New York. And so I definitely know he's going to step into the game with a chip on his shoulder. You know, it's even easier on a quarterback when you have the type of weapons that he's throwing to and those guys and the type of protection that the line can do. They got a lot of weapons over there, so it's going to be a challenge for us. We're going to have our hands full.
So I think that's one of the things to keep an eye on, obviously, how he can do it. Look, Sean Payton said, look, the way that this team sort of is, you plan and prepare for what they've always been good for and kind of, I guess, are the traits of what Seattle is and Pete Carroll.
There's some, we just covered some of the things that we've seen over Pete's whole time since 2010. These guys always have played real good special teams. There's always a commitment to running the football. And then run. You get a few different looks on defense that I would say are fairly new relative to maybe 2 years ago. And yet they still play a fair amount of zone coverage. They force you to come underneath with the football. Those are just a few of the things. They're a big play team offensively with obviously two explosive receivers that get down the field and you see it on tape when you're watching both Metcalf and Lockett.
Indeed. As a matter of fact, Metcalf and Lockett are the two concerns that Marcus Williams was touching on, really, as to players that you got to keep an eye on, especially how they like to attack and use those players. And keep an eye on the scramble plays and avoid big explosive ones.
Just stick to my keys and watch the quarterback, you know. If I know what's coming, it's going to be easier for me. But, you know, when they're scrambling, you just got to continue to stay deep and let nothing get behind me so we don't let those explosives go.
You know, we talked about in hour number one and number two as well about this team being able to handle adverse situations, conditions and stuff just because they actually practice for it. Alvin Kamara, after the Hail Mary, said, look, it's what we practice for. We practice it all the time. We're kind of ready for it. Marcus Williams saying the defense, one of the reasons they've had success in pass defense this year, is literally trusting the players.
Right. We practice it. We practice and practice, trust that the man's going to do a job. And it makes it easier for me. If I trust my guy on my left and my right, then I could just do what I have to do in the middle of the field, center field. And you can see it on the field. Everybody's doing their job, making their plays. So I'm just back there roaming.
One of the other things that he was asked too, a lot of the players have been asked, especially coming back from the bye week, is how the Saints are 3-2 and frankly should be 4-1, handling all the different injuries. I told you, it's a culture. It's a culture that's been created in there. We played Sean Payton from the bye week saying, the last press conference with the bye week saying, look, it's just that no excuse, no BS attitude. It's just how it is. And a lot of the players sort of feel that way as well. Is Marcus Williams.
Nobody ever cares. Nobody cares if you go down. Nobody cares if you're up. They just care about the product on the field. They care about you winning. So that's what we have to focus on, and that's probably what it is.
How you handle all the injuries.
I think we just have a next man up mentality. Everybody practices as if they're a starter, so if somebody goes down, somebody's ready to come back in. So everybody's practicing and getting ready for the game, getting ready for that week. So that's why there's not really a big let off.
Something like 18-2 or something. Rod Walker tweeted last week, the last 5 years coming out of a bye, Saints have done really well. We won't go into that Falcon game. I don't even know. I mean, that was, you want to talk about when I'm still at a loss how bad that team came out on that one. But Jenkins on why he thinks Sean Payton has had such success coming out of a bye.
One, he trusts his players a lot because he usually gives us the entire week off, allows us to step away from the game, get our minds and bodies back. But when we come back, he's good at getting us right back into the routine, keeping us focused on the here and now. So far this week, I think it's probably the sharpest practices we've had really to date. So he just does a great job of, it's a culture that he's built, and he sticks to the things that he knows. It's been working for, some seasons now. That's just how he runs his program.
And I think that's one of the things that they have built in there, right? It's definitely built a culture for sure as to how to get everybody playing on the same page. One thing else that Jenkins touched on, too, is I know Peyton Turner's not playing tonight. You should have Davenport back. Quan Alexander wasn't on the injury report and all that, so that's going to be good. Pete Werner's played well, all that other stuff. So you should get better as you start getting healthier. And next week, David Onyemata should be back. Hopefully Peyton Turner eventually comes back here as well. But Malcolm Jenkins, on how the defense should improve.
We've been in a race to improve, every game. And I think even though we can look at rankings and feel like, okay, we're at a solid place, I think we felt like we probably underperformed so far this season, or haven't been as consistent as we want it to be. And so adding players that are quality players back from, injury or whatever it is, always makes you better, adds more depth. So we're excited to for another opportunity to compete, another opportunity to get better, whoever that is on the field.
One of the things that Demario Davis was touching on here as well is the play on this defense. And one of the things, again, we touched about is that added depth. Look, Pete Werner has come in, he's played spectacular football, and it's absolutely impressed a guy like Davis.
Phenomenal. The way he's played here as a rookie has just been phenomenal. And literally he's shown that the sky is the limit for him, and so this is going to be all about his continued progression. But he is playing, light years ahead of where you expect a rookie to play. I mean, his athletic ability, his closing speed, his tenacity on his tackles, his instincts, his smarts. I mean, it all speaks for itself. I mean, just turn the tape on, you're going to see him. And so he's played absolutely phenomenal, and just excited to see him continue to grow as a player.
Again, one of the things that we touched on is being able to deal with these injuries. Here's Davis on how he thinks that.
That's part of the game. You know, you're going to have ups, you're going to have downs. You know, no matter what's going on around you, one of the quotes DA always says is, you know, half the people don't care about your problem and the rest of them are glad that you got them. You know, and so you have to have that mentality that, you know, it's just us. And that's what we always have to be focused on. How can we be better? How can we get better every single day? And when the game comes, we can go out and put the best product on the field. And so and each and every week, you know, continue to perfect your process and get better and better so that you can make the climb and be where you want to be towards the end of the year. And ever since I've been here, that's been the mindset of the culture. And Sean, you know, plays a great job in leading us in that mindset and making sure that everyone in the building has that mentality. And I mean, that's just what you adopt, you know, as a Saint.
You know, 2 years ago, famously, he led the chant. Breeze had been doing it. Called Breeze, asked him if he could do it, and he did it. And since then, now he's the guy. Jameis Winston, now the hype man during the chant. But DeMario Davis was asked as well, like a lot of the players this week, how do you handle it? What's that culture? How does it set up? And why is the team so prepared to handle all these different elements of it? Which is why, again, I'm as confident today that the rain and weather and cold and the noise ain't going to be why the Saints lose today. If they lose today, Seattle makes more plays. They commit turn. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to directly come in tomorrow and relate. Well, you know, the snap went over Jameis's head because McCoy couldn't hear. I don't think that's what this team is right now. Here's DeMario.
I think it's a multitude of things. Sean does a good job. He's been around the game for a long time. He's seen almost everything you can see that this game is going to present to you, whether it's the field, whether it's, you know, traveling to the West Coast, whether it's, you know, different things that teams are going to throw at you. He just does a good job of making sure that we're prepared for any and all of those situations. Then speaking to what was said earlier, he created a good culture. You know, we have a lot of veterans, so who know how to prepare, you know, prior to a bye, after a bye. And creating that winning culture that no matter what the situation is, whether it's, you know, every game is just the next one on your schedule, and you go in and you expect to win. So I think he's just done a great job of creating that culture, making sure that culture is perpetual. So it's a lot that kind of goes into it, and hopefully it continues to go well for us.
Along those lines, too, you always hear a lot of players. You heard Marcus Williams a little bit ago, some next man up mentality, and I've said this. But you have to create the culture for that to succeed. And what I mean by that is you have to first start the very basis and bottom foundation piece of this. No matter how you get there, if you're on the team, and you've heard Sean say this, he said this during the bye week, that how he deals with injuries, that if you're on the team and you're a member of the New Orleans Saints, that means in his mind he expects you can play. And he said it. He's like, practice squad guys, bench guys, you name it, they're all going to play at some point this season. That's just how the league goes. That's just how the sport is. Injuries, or whether it's we need you at practice while somebody heals, whatever. And it makes sense when you think about it like that. But that's why he puts such an emphasis on the final 53 and in the practice. Like, in his mind, if you are wearing a helmet or you're wearing a logo or you're on the plane or you're on the bus, then he's expecting you to perform. He thinks you're good enough. It's the only reason you're there. He said it in that same clip, that if that part of the roster is not doing it for you, you got to keep turning it around. So he's constantly looking for players that he feels he can put in the game and are not going to let him down. Here's Davis on what that means.
I mean, we got to roll what we got. You know, we have a very good locker room with a lot of talented players, first string, second string, offense, defense, special teams. And so every time that we step out there, no matter who it is, we just try to put the best product on the field. And we know we like our chances when we step out there.
All right, quick break. We come back. Marlon Favorite, his thoughts on the Ole Miss victory against LSU. Things started out well, and then they went for it on fourth down, and then, well, you know how the rest of that goes. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Imagine it, a first-class resort in Slidell on the lakefront called Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. We're talking up to 250 rooms and St. Tammany's first real convention center, big enough for special events, weddings, or even Mardi Gras balls. Relax at the luxury spa, swimming pools, or drift in the lazy river. And listen to this. An outdoor amphitheater will bring major concerts to Slidell and get used for community events too, like graduations and farmers markets. Eat it up at 7 different restaurants, from casual to fine dining, even a brand new Slidell marina. Pull up in your boat and get in on the fun. Camellia Bay Resort and Casino. Together, we make it happen by voting yes. Vote yes, and the North Shore wins. Vote yes, and we all win. Get more information at thenorthshorewinds.com. Paid for by the North Shore Winds.
Craig LeBlanc Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com. GregLeBlancToyota.com. We are home strong.
On August 29th, 2021, Hurricane Ida wreaked havoc on our community, leaving thousands of people feeling helpless, vulnerable, and desperate. We refuse to let insurance companies do the same.
At AMO Trial Lawyers, we have assembled a team of not only attorneys, but also contractors, adjusters, engineers, and estimators with the focus of maximizing your claim value and assisting in your recovery.
If you think your insurance company isn't treating you fairly, get a name that insurance companies know by calling 985-446-3333. I'm Matt Ory.
And I'm David Ardwin.
And we are the AMO Advantage.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
All right. Marlon Fave writes, Big Fave 504 is where to follow on Twitter. Inside the Trenches, the podcast. He joins us on Mondays and Fridays. It's Saints game day, so we'll focus on that coming up here in a little bit. But first, of course, sir, it was a game up in Oxford over the weekend. It started out well for LSU. 31-17 was the final. They went for it on fourth down, could have gone up 14-0. They didn't. Next thing you know, Ole Miss kind of gathered its sea legs a bit, and they put up 17 points in the second to LSU's none. As a matter of fact, LSU didn't score again until the 14th, until the fourth quarter with 10. When you look back at that game, how did it change so much? What was the big difference in the first half? Because Lane looked frazzled. The crowd was quiet. LSU came out firing. What happened in the second quarter?
I mean, Gus, I think it's what I talked about in our pregame show. The consistency. Like, if folks watch the LSU game, the first two drives, and, oh, man, I got to go run to the store, go shopping with their wife for 2 hours and come back, like, what happened? That's the type of feeling that game left for a lot of folks. The consistency piece, Gus, it's just like, I don't know if it's because of the distractions, Coach O getting fired, and the guys kind of have, well, a few of the guys kind of have this mentality, like, we don't know what the coach is going to be. And sometimes the mental wear and tear on your mind could lead to a lackadaisical effort on the field. You feel like you're playing for nothing. And all of those key pieces. So I think that's the biggest thing, Gus, more than anything that else that happened, and why the game flipped so quickly out of our favor.
You know, it's one of the things too. You know, we talk about coaching so much in the NFL and college, and being able to get your players, I guess, sort of prepared for certain situations. And we hear this a lot, Marlon. Adjustments. You're actually a player, then you know what those adjustments are. What take us through, you know, adjustments one on one. Talk to us like we don't know the game here, right? Step one, is it something as simple as, okay, here's a photo of a play. This is what they're doing. Let's go do that. Like, what is an adjustment? Because I'm watching a game and that word kept popping in my head in the first half. It was like LSU came out. They started out well. Oh, then Ole Miss's coach just said, all right, this is what they're doing. They made an adjustment, and the lack of adjustments, as we've seen throughout the season for LSU, reared their ugly heads. Am I right on that? What's an adjustment take, and did you see that happen?
I didn't see it happen. I didn't see it happen in the last two games, to be quite honest with you. If there were adjustments made, they were slight and it wasn't super noticeable. But for our listeners, what an adjustment is, you have a game plan, right? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday walk through, your game plan goes through. You practice all of those plays, offensively, defensively, special teams, right? All of these plays are called based off of what you saw on film from previous games. And Gus, some of the really good coaches, they take it even further, and they may watch, you know, some film on the running back when he was in high school, or maybe it's an offensive or defensive coordinator who may have coached at, let's say, Michigan. We go back and watch some film when he coached at Michigan, and we make our plays off of what we see. What happens is, in a game, something comes out and they do something that is totally different from what you saw on film. So some people call timeout, or you wait till you get the defense back on the sideline. I thought Coach Pelini was really great at making adjustments during games. You know, you come on the sideline and say, hey, they came out this formation. Let's run this play as opposed to doing this play based off of what they're doing differently from what we saw on film. And that's making adjustments. Sometimes you're forced, not sometimes, basically all the time, you're forced to make adjustments on the fly based on the tempo of the other team, the opposing team. So that's a long story short what an adjustment is in terms of gameplay.
All right, there you go. So, I don't know, man. You look at, obviously, you have some time here until you get ready for you-know-who the next week and the next meeting. So, a bye now, and on the 6th next Saturday, it's Alabama. Is it by the game? What are you trying to put on film at this point? Marlon, like, what are you trying to, I guess, accomplish as the rest of the season goes individually for these players?
Well, for the players, I'll start with the players first. For the players, you are still working on your resume, not only for your professional career, but whoever the next coach is. I saw Brandon Ellis told a really great story in our post game. He talked about my senior year at LSU, the last year with the co-coordinators, Coach Bofalini and Coach Mark. And what happened was, Brandon was actually playing cornerback and returner for us. Well, Coach John Chavis saw some stuff on film with Brandon. He liked how Brandon was a hard hitter, you know, a leader on defense. So he came to him when he got there as a defensive coordinator and said, hey, I want to move you to safety. Brandon hadn't played safety prior to that. It worked in his favor if he got drafted. So you're looking at that as a player, too. Whoever the new OC, whoever the new DC may be, or head coach, they're going to watch film from the previous year. And if you're lazy on film, if you're not putting forth the effort, that can potentially reflect on the next staff and their decision on how they're going to use it. Secondly, Gus, two-piece to this one, the coaches. Right now, the coaches are working on their resumes as well. You don't know if the new head coach coming in is going to hire you. You may have to have a job somewhere else. So, you know, all that goes into it.
I don't know if you saw it on College Game Day, Kirk Herbstreit, who has not shied away from saying how he thinks LSU's been playing, almost surprisingly. I don't know if you had a chance to hear this, Marlon. This was him on LSU game on College Game Day back on Saturday before the Ole Miss game.
Personally, we've talked all year. I feel bad every week we seem to be talking about LSU. I've said it all year that it's not just wins and losses for me. It's the attitude of this football team since 19. Since the cigars with Joe Burrow and they left that stadium that night, they've not been the same. They lost their focus on team. They lost their focus on the pride of that state. Like whoever Scott Woodward hires, whoever it is, they need to go work on bringing the purple and gold, Tiger Stadium, Death Valley, playing for that LSU brand back. Forget national championships. Just play for the love of the game. Bring kids in that aren't worried about the NFL. Of course that's a goal, but that's not the primary goal. And I feel like these last 2 years, after all that success in 19 and all those guys going to the NFL and the coordinators leaving to become coaches elsewhere, they lost their fastball. They lost their laser focus. And I've always said, that program has always had, when David played there. I mean, you go back when Herb Tyler was there. LSU's always had pride.
Yeah.
And we saw it last week. We just haven't seen it consistently since that championship year.
I think he nails it, right, Marlon?
He nailed it. I did hear that, and I like the shout out to Herb Tyler, man. Shout out to West Bank legend. Yes. Herb, man, got the shout out. That was big, and I'm with Kirk 100%. It was a difference, Gus, and it was a chain of events after that, not only with our head coach, with players. It was a whole bunch of turmoil that came in around. And I'm with the next head coach. I'm not excited about the big name.
I'm with you.
I'm just really not, because the next – and, Gus, I really been thinking about what you said, like the Billy Napier thing. What he's done in UL is huge. And that's the state of Louisiana. He's winning. Hey, look at this. I'm sitting here at Dillsdale High School – not right now. I'm just saying last year – and I am raving over Montrell Johnson. He plays with my son and their peers. This kid is putting up 250 yards, 350 yards rushing in single games, in high school games. Raving over him. LSU didn't go after him. You know who did went after him? UL. And he's doing a great job there, putting that program on the map. So that's the type of vibe we're looking for the next coach. Not only are you a good coach, a winning coach, but you are also a father figure. You understand Louisiana.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be able to go sit into these households, Gus. My baby ain't going that hoop. Y'all ain't know what type of man you is. You got to handle it just like that. You got to be able to talk back to a man, you know, and if you don't, I'm just not sending my child in. You know, simple as that. And that's what we have to fight as well.
Like I said, man, when we talked on Friday, I can give you 15 different things. And, you know, there was a rant that's now been pulled off of Twitter. And I know you talked about Charles Hanegriff and, you know, his partner. And I can't think of the name off the top of my head, that they went nuts in the LSU post game. It's been removed, by the way, since then. And the guy that he was doing the show with says, you can't have a guy that comes from Lafayette be your coach. That kind of thinking is absolutely astounding to me. Find the best football coach, whoever that is. I don't care if it comes from the best bank or if it comes from SoCal. I honestly don't care. Find the guy that, to your point, and that's what I brought up on Friday. You have a guy, and again, I'm not saying it's Napier's the best. I'm just saying he's a guy that you can't disrespect just because you say he's coaching you well. I did this morning because I had a friend of mine in my group of friends who's like, well, I saw a tweet earlier, and I think it was Hanegriff last week, who said, Lincoln Riley, Ryan Day, Kirby Smart, before they got their jobs, the resume of Billy Napier is deeper right now. And I just typed in their name on Google, and Wikipedia comes up, and it shows you their history. And darn near, I mean, it's absolutely, at the very least, equal, I mean, if not better. He has more head coaching experience. Everybody else was an assistant. And quite honestly, Lincoln Riley and Ryan Day were handed Bugattis. I mean, they were handed, you know, schools, Marlon, where every single year they have a Heisman candidate. Oh, by the way, how good is Lincoln Riley? Every year, the last 3 years, he's had a transfer quarterback to come in and be with him. So, you know, you want to start looking at Ryan Day and these other guys that inherited, you know, sports cars. They're going and winning with transfers. Are they, you know, so, and they're in situations that are so like that. Go find me a guy that can, you know, get some digits and numbers driving a Honda Civic in 92. You know what I'm saying? Like, give me something like that, man. Yeah. I mean, that shows me in today's college football, Marlon, where there's such have and have nots, if you can win when you don't have facilities, when you don't have attendance, when you don't have name recognition, when you don't have all of that, and you can win consistently, oh, by the way, you learned under Dabo and Nick, I mean, be respectful. be respectful yeah. and be like, well, he coaches there. Okay. And how's your guy
everyone
doing?
Has to start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Man. Well, everyone look, that's why I like somewhere. Tucker a lot, too, from Michigan State. And I promise you, I know. I was working in the field of sports. When Nick Saban got hired, there were so many people go, who is this guy? The Big Ten? That's where you went from? Look at Saban's record. I mean, dude, people did not care for that hire nearly as much as everyone acts like they did now, you know?
And I agree with that, Gus. When Coach Saban got hired back here in 2001, he built the program. I can remember Ryan Clark talking about y'all are spoiled with WC and all these nice cars and stuff around. This is early 2000s in LSU when he used to come back and visit. And I'm saying the same thing with the guys now. Coach Saban helped build that program. And you talk about Ferraris being handed out, not taking anything from the success of Coach Miles right. and what he did there, but look what he was inheriting. You know, Saban's recruiting class that he had just built after the national championship. So to our point, man, everybody deserves a start. But to take over this position, you have to give credit where credit's due. Coach Ed Orgeron did help build this program back from a recruiting standpoint, keeping guys like Jamar Chase was going. I talked to Jamar Chase and his dad all the time. His dad fact-checked that for me, Jimmy Chase. Mm-hmm. They were going to Texas A&M. But Mickey Joseph and Coach Ed Orgeron, they brought the whole staff over to Woodmere to that house and said, hey, we want you to be a Tiger. The rest is history. Someone that's going to have to be able to do that, because keep in mind, Gus, you know, Concord Sports Pros, we train a lot of players. A lot of them are in college right now. One of our players is Donald Bernard. He's at Navy Hamilton. His teammate, Christian Harris, starting linebacker for Alabama. He got snatched from off of LSU's camp to Alabama. Mm-hmm. He's a Husky to UI, which is on LSU's camp. It's that serious. I mean, legit, Coach Saban has the reputation and he has the respect in this area. You know, Alabama comes through, he can guarantee that he's going to the national championship. It's almost like the John Curtis of, it used to be John Curtis of college football. So it's something to really pay attention to how the recruiting piece is the most important piece, Gus, in this whole equation. You have to be able to recruit. You don't want to turn off families of the Kayshawn Boutique of the world. You got to sit down in those folks' living room and be able to relate to them. And that's what I'm saying in the high.
Who wins tonight, sir? About 30 seconds. Seattle.
The Saints won by 2 scores tonight.
Oh, there we go. You're another person that says 2 scores. All right, Marlon, 2 scores. All right, man. Thank you so much, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll talk again on Friday.
Yeah, Cowboys had a fight. Take care.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's all the time we have for Marlon Favorite. Look, it's 2:34. You're 4 minutes overdue. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it. At Big Faith 504 on Twitter. No, his Cowboys are playing well. He's got to get some time. It's just at some point. He also could do the Inside the Trenches podcast. We'll talk to him on Friday. We'll give him some Cowboy time, I promise. And the fact that your Lakers almost went 0-4. They almost went 0-4 despite Melo going bananas last night. Ja missed a game-tying free throw. He went out for 40. Everything is going fantastic except this. That game almost was tied going into overtime, and you were staring at 0-4. Just letting you know, Marlon. Just letting you know. Just letting you know. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Highway 1 in Raceland, features fantastic, authentic Mexican food and steaks. They have great lunch specials Monday to Fridays, plus enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. And on Fridays, it's 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings. El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
Other banks charge fees on savings and checking accounts. Doesn't sound good, does it? Capital One reimagined banking, so it sounds more like this. With Capital One, you can open an account with no fees or minimums in 5 minutes. Get started now at a Capital One location or online. Sound good to you? This is banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Approval required. Offered by Capital One N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
The devastation caused by Hurricane Ida was unprecedented. You can prevent additional damage by making a free call to 811 a few days before you dig or disturb the ground in any way. Calling 811 helps protect you from unintentional consequences caused by digging into underground utility lines. After calling 811, wait the required time, confirm all marks, and then dig with care. Call 811 before you dig. It's the law. This message is provided by Common Ground Alliance.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
He's 44 years old. He has 21 touchdowns against 3 interceptions. He's second in the league in QBR. His team is on fire, not just beating teams, but beating the brakes off teams. My goodness. He's leading the league in attempts, completions, and yards. Tom Brady's pretty good, and he's, you cannot talk MVP without talking Tom Brady now. How do you do it? He's in any conversation. He has a very good case to be MVP right now. Kyler Murray, Matthew Stafford, apologies. You could easily give the award to Tom Brady right now.
Leo Haggerty of Sports Magazine, based in Tampa, will see him at the end of this week as he'll come in for Tampa Bay versus New Orleans on Halloween night in the Dome. You and I talked about this Friday, Leo. First off, good afternoon to you. We talked about it Friday. I thought it was going to be a beating. I was like, look, stop with all this Fields. Stop it. That wasn't even a football game yesterday. That was a clinic put on by the Buccaneers.
Gus, I said beforehand, this is going to be a blowout. Chicago, to win, has to run the football. You can't run the ball on the Buccaneers. They completely shut the run down. And then they turned it over 3 times inside their own territory, and Brady just surgically carved them up. It was just like, and thus they put up 38 points, and Brady did not have a good game statistically.
Right.
But he had a great game when you talk about managing what was going on.
No Antonio Brown, who's had a tremendous season. Gronk's been out for a little bit. And coach this morning said both likely could be back for next week, which doesn't help. But Evans, man, got a connection yesterday with a couple of TDs as well. It's just, again, it just seems effortless to this standpoint of it. Everyone, and you mentioned this, everyone now knows where to go. And everyone now knows just due to play, and Brady's just going, okay, I'll go here, do this. I mean, that's what it feels like when I watch that game.
You know what, Gus? When you talk about the Buccaneers right now, they got a quarterback who doesn't care how they win the football game. If you're going to play too high, they're going to run it down your throat with Fournette and Ronald Jones. If you decide to put 7 in the box, they're going to carve you up with their perimeter receivers and their tight ends. And it's just, it's like watching a maestro conduct an orchestra. And the guy's 45 years old. That's the thing that what you look at is, how is this actually happening?
Right.
And it is. It's just phenomenal. You know, just whether you're a fan or not, you're watching history, because you're never going to see this happen again with a quarterback that old.
You would say that about a lot of guys that have played in the past, Leo. And NFL on CBS's Twitter account put this up there 2 hours ago, right? Like, you would have thought, man, we're not going to see a guy throw the ball like John Elway. He had 300 TDs. Remember, Brady, 602. Joe Montana, how many? I mean, it felt like in the 80s, it was always a touchdown. 273. Steve Young, 232. Terry Bradshaw, 212. Kurt Warner, the greatest show on turf, 208. Troy Aikman, Hall of Famer, 165. Tom Brady has 602. Like, to put it in perspective, it's just, it's remarkable. And he just passed Breeze. I ought to tell you how Breeze's career, you know, has sort of been as well. So anyway, you know what? Enough fawning over your team. What about the Atlanta Falcons, man? What, I mean, is Miami just that bad, or is Atlanta slowly but surely starting to figure itself out? I'm seeing more plays by Pitts. I'm seeing them playing, you know, not losing the game per se. And Tua had a nice game. He only had, what, 8 incompletions or something?
Gus, I said earlier, don't go to sleep on the Falcons. They played the Buccaneers, other than the Rams, probably the best so far. They're going into the fourth quarter, and this is like a 3-point game. Atlanta is starting to figure it out. Their defense is starting to play like a defense in the NFL. And Matt Ryan is starting to figure out, well, guess what? Kyle Pitts can play. I can put him out as a wideout against a base defense, and they're trying to cover him with a linebacker and safety, and that's just not going to happen. Gus, Atlanta is getting better. Now, again, can we judge it by Miami? No. Miami is a dumpster fire. It's almost like we could call them Philadelphia South. They're really just terrible.
Boy, I mean, Philly is a disaster. I mean, what did you expect? The guy, the day he gets hired, he walks out onto the field, and the team on its website put a video, and he's like, is this where he practiced? Like, I was like, oh, man. He just came across like somebody that has no clue. Along those lines, and I'm not just saying this because you like to kick somebody that's down in the NFC South, but I thought over the last couple of weeks when LSU fans, Lee, over here were like, Joe Brady, hire Joe Brady. I'm like, can we just breathe a second? If he doesn't, you know, take Sean Payton's playbook with him on the way out the door, is he the same guy? And I say that because and Matt Moscona, who does a show after us, is in touch with LSU as more as anybody. And he said, look, people tend to forget. And he always says, don't bring up Brady without bringing Ensminger. And that guy with his years of experience and all that. So you brought a different take on philosophy. But a guy that knows football in Ensminger. And what I've seen in the last 2 years is a guy that, again, is this flashy, hey, I have theories, but do you know the game? And also, is the shine wearing off of Matt Rhule here? Now the word is they're all in on Watson. They've been on in on everybody, right? They got rid of Teddy Two Gloves. They brought in Darnold. Now they're going off their Watson, who may not even play this year if they trade for him. That reeks of, who are you? I know McCaffrey is out and he's injured, but teams still win without their best players, or at least they're competitive. They don't look like they have an idea of what they want to be. Am I wrong on this take?
No, Gus, you're not. And again, when you talk about the teams that are good, they have an identity. Carolina has no identity. It's like they throw it at the wall and see what sticks. And that never works in the National Football League. You got to have an identity. The Buccaneers, they're going to shut down the run. The Saints, they're going to kill you with the short passing game, and they're going to feature a running back, Alvin Kamara. Look at the Rams. They've got a great defense. Look at Arizona. They've got a quarterback. They're going to put everything in his hands. But again, when you look at what's going on in the NFL, you've got to have an identity. Carolina has none. You're exactly right.
I mean, to your point, yeah. I mean, you know, look, and they played hard last year, but I cannot get over Teddy Bridgewater's comments this offseason when he first got to Denver, when he said they didn't even practice red zones. They didn't even practice third downs. They didn't practice that last year. And as long as I can remember Sean being here, that's Friday. Friday is third down in red zone. Like, they have a whole day dedicated to that. And they never practice those situations in Carolina. Just, I'm like, maybe college is for you. You know, and you know this, Leo, from all your years of experience in covering the pros, it's a different level, man. If you're not prepared Monday through Saturday, you're going to get smoked on Sunday.
You know what, Gus? It's funny you should say that, because it's just coming out now that the Buccaneers on Friday after practice, Brady sits down with the entire offensive line and goes over the run game. Again, You're talking about a guy who leaves no stone unturned. The fact that, you know, Teddy Bridgewater goes, well, we didn't practice third down. Well, guess what? You're not going to do well then. You've got to prepare for situations. And again, Carolina, like I said, they just don't look like they're prepared. They don't look like they have an identity. And you know what? That's the New Orleans game coming up scares me, and we'll talk a lot about it Friday, because the Saints are starting to get an identity. They're starting to figure out what they need to bank on to win football games.
Mm-hmm. Leo, as always, a pleasure, sir. So wrap up with us on this. Saints, Seattle here. New Orleans, a four-point favorite. Many of our callers today and people on social media calling for a two-score win. Now, two-score win could be 6 points or it could be double digits, obviously, how you're looking at it. I think somehow, some way, the Saints find another way to pull out a victory here. Getting some guys back healthy on the O-line, like Center McCoy, Teron Armstead, Marcus Davenport is back. I just think if the Saints avoid the dreaded first quarter turnover that gives Seattle life in that crowd, I think they get a win.
You know what, Gus, I agree. I think it's going to be close. It's funny. The Seahawks without, you know, Russell Wilson, they're playing just well enough to lose. They're going to have, and again, Geno Smith, not playing bad, but just not playing well enough to get him over the hump. I think you're going to see a close game. I think you're going to see a low-scoring game. I'm thinking, Gus, in the neighborhood of 20-17, Saints.
Leo Hager, you're looking forward to seeing you in studio on Friday, sir.
All right. Hey, poor boy time. Talk to you later.
Let's do it. There he goes, Leo Hagerty. Safe travels. All right, final segment coming up next. Got about 3-4 minutes. If you want to chime in quickly, we'll put you on. 800-998-1003. It's the phone number. At ESPN Radio Nola, the take. We'll go through all of that and more and wrap it up as we get ready for the Pels tonight, taking on the T-Wolves and the Saints, battling the Seahawks. It's your sports hangover from ESPN New Orleans.
In the heart of the night. In the heart of the night. In the heart of the
The devastation that was left behind will be in our hearts and minds forever. But our community has the most hardworking and loyal individuals than anywhere else. We are strong. We will rebuild. We will conquer. Golden Motors is open for sales, service, and parts to assist your needs. Arriving daily is your next brand new Chevrolet, Buick, or slightly used any maker model vehicle. Golden Motors. Price is priority. 985-325 1000 or visit us 24/7 at goldenmotors.com.
On August 29th, 2021, Hurricane Ida wreaked havoc on our community, leaving thousands of people feeling helpless, vulnerable, and desperate. We refuse to let insurance companies do the same.
At AMO Trial Lawyers, we have assembled a team of not only attorneys, but also contractors, adjusters, engineers, and estimators with the focus of maximizing your claim value and assisting in your recovery.
If you think your insurance company isn't treating you fairly, get a name that insurance companies know by calling 985-446-3333. I'm Matt Ori.
And I'm David Ardwin.
And we are the AMO Advantage.
As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients, offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering, also holding tank rentals and portable hand washing stations. So call Joe Septic Contractors 24/7 at 985-632-5592 in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville, or visit their website at joeseptic.com. At viscom.net.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodeau Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodeau Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodeau.com.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Oh, boy, here it is, Uptown Ruler. Sir, what you got for us today? Game coming up in just a few hours. What do you have?
No, Gus, this wheel is Uptown Wheel, Gus.
Oh, Uptown Wheels. Okay, I got you. I'm thought, you know what? I need to read. It actually says Uptown Wheeler. What's up, my man?
Hey, how you doing, bro? Look, I just want to talk to you about this, Gus, because I'm kind of like sick and tired of people with the Tampa Bay stuff, Gus. I mean, I'm just an apple to oranges type of guy, man. Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is, these people haven't played nobody, man. I mean, they played the two best teams. Mm-hmm. Gus, bro. You know what it is. It's Tom Brady, man. It's the face of the NFL. But the two best teams that you played was Dallas. You should have lost that game. Mm-hmm. And you played the Rams, and them people made you look like we made you look the first two games last year, like you don't belong. I'm sick of hearing these excuses about, oh, now Antonio Brown know how to run routes. Now, man, look, when them people play against us, son, I'm going to just tell you what happens to these superstars we name. Even my own, because I went to St. Augustine High, my own Leonard Fournette. When them people play against us, none of that stuff exists, man. It's no Antonio Brown. Michael Evans ain't had a catch in six games or something like that to us. Galladay don't exist. I just be blown away how everybody be riding this Tampa Bay Buccaneers ship. And then when they played against the Rams, nobody talked about how these people look ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, did anybody see that Detroit Rams game? Detroit was goals and blows with these people, man. And then, but I mean, the GOAT was, I mean, he looked like he shouldn't even be playing football no more. But, oh, you put up 40 against the Bears. Oh, you put up 30 against Philly. I mean, for real? These teams are looking for coaches, man. They're looking for quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And we giving this man an MVP award?
MVP.
Gus, it got to stop, bro. Come on, man. You know, and, Gus, I was surprised to hear you talking to my man about the people like that. Man, I'm sorry, Gus. I just got to call you out on that one, bro. You know, we the nation, and you know who the best team in the South was. I mean, you know, Drew, we just, you know, Drew, his time called, his arm, he was injured, bro.
Father Time came and took it, dude. I got you, man. Look, here's why I went there, because you do have to say this. The guy has 21 TDs. He's having multiple 4 TD games. But right now, just hear me out. Hear me out. Look, I'm with you. No, I understand the competition. I get it, but you still got to do it. Antonio Brown has had a really nice start. Gronkowski. I mean, mm-hmm. Look, they're producing. I mean, look, but you remember what I told you at the beginning of the year? I couldn't give my, hey, this is what I think the Saints are. What did I tell you? Buffalo on Thanksgiving, didn't I? I said that at the beginning of the year.
After the bye.
Yeah, I said, wait for these guys to come back. I mean, today you might actually have your starting line, offensive line. I'd love to see Peyton Turner healthy with Davenport rotating, with Pastanau rotating. Cam Jordan doesn't even have a sack yet. Can we get one sack from Cam Jordan yet? Quan Alexander, great start. You saw the difference. Then he gets hurt. Might be back tonight. That's going to help. At some point this year, it'd be nice to get Michael Thomas back and Traquan Smith.
Right.
So, you know, then I'm with you. Then we can start seeing a comparison. Though right now, man, believe me, it hurts me. It pains me. They're a better team right now. They just are. It's okay to say that and still dislike them. I want a beating on Sunday. Believe me. And you know what? You're going to get your opportunity Sunday to go toe-to-toe and see how they are. Because like you said, and Leo just said, Atlanta and the Rams have given them the best game. So we'll see. Uptown Wheeler, thank you, man, so much for the phone call. We appreciate it. I got to run. Enjoy the game. Pels tonight, 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock, the Tim Rebo Show first. The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce.